Praise the Lord, everybody. That's somebody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Song says, I belong to you, Lord Jesus. And because we belong to him, anything he says, we will do. Another one of my favorite is, he's able. God is able to do anything. Anything. Let's get into the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that we are not lonely or strangers to you, but you have called us children, sons and daughters. Oh Lord, we're praying that you will continue to rest and abide with us. But Lord, we're praying that you will turn our hearts and our minds to abide in you. I ask now that you will be in the midst of this message. That Jesus, you'll be high and lifted up. And when this word has come to a conclusion, I pray that somebody would have encountered you. Bless us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke, the fifth chapter. And we're reading verse number 17. It's on the screen, Luke chapter 5. And we're reading one verse this morning, verse number 17. The Bible says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, he being Jesus, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Here is this. This is the punchline right here. The Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The Bible says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. This morning, I want to speak to you using this title, the personal present power. The personal present power. It's amazing to me that Jesus could be present, but still not connected to anyone in the house. Luke records a remarkable statement before he describes one of Jesus' greatest miracles. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Before the paralytic walk, before sins were forgiven, and before the religious leaders were confronted with the authority of Jesus Christ, Scripture first announces that the power of the Lord was present. This is not an incidental detail. It is clearly that Luke is trying to depict something that many people would have missed. It is the theological foundation for everything that follows. The Bible says that the power of the Lord was present. I want you to picture this, a house that is packed with people. It's so packed that no one can enter in through any of the doors. Matter of fact, it's so packed that when you open the door, there is someone standing at the door. There's no room inside for you to enter. And just imagine, while you are in there, here comes Jesus standing up to teach. The Bible says the house was packed. No room inside the house. All the high officials were in there. The Pharisees and the teachers of law. The Bible said they have come from all over. from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And then the Bible says this. Sounds random, but it's not. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. To heal. The Bible says the power was present. You see, this comes from the reality. This Greek word present comes to us to mean simply to be, to exist, to be continually with, or to be available. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. So the word present, the Bible says the power was present, and it means to continually be with someone or to be available. Look at this. Luke is emphasizing that God's power was not distant or merely potential. It was actively there, available, and operative in the person of Jesus Christ. The presence of God was there to heal the sick. Don't want you to miss this. The word power is where we get our English word dynamic. It comes with this Greek meaning strength, might, miraculous ability, inherent power, or divine enabling. It is the supernatural power that belongs only to God and accomplishes what human ability never could. No matter how hard we try, only thing is possible is for us to align ourselves with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the power of the Holy Spirit will make it possible for you to do what you cannot do. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure." That means you can't do it by yourself. No matter how hard you try. You can practice until it makes imperfect. You will never be able to do what only the Spirit of the living God can do. So together, these two words, present and power, these two words reveal a profound biblical truth. God's power is most effective where the presence of Jesus is recognized. I'm going to say that again. God's power is most effective where the presence of Jesus is recognized. Now, this is very important because there's a lot of people who are saying Jesus. They talk about Jesus. They might even know about Jesus, but they are not intimately connected with Jesus. I'm going to share this in you. The Bible makes it clear that the house was packed. And guess who was in the house? Jesus Christ. Not only that, the Bible says the power was with Jesus to heal. But no one was healed. Y'all don't hear me. The Bible says the house was packed. Jesus was in the house. The power of God was with Jesus to heal. But no one in the house was healed. I'm going to say it again. Somebody's missing it. The Bible says the house was packed. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal, but no one in the house was healed. Message of hope, I want to make this clear. Don't come up into this house and not expect a healing or an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is He brings you to Jesus Christ. I'm going to make it clear pretty soon, because oftentimes we have gotten accustomed to just walk into the house of God and walk out the house of God, and we are not changed. Many people, this is August, the 1st of August. This is the 8th month of the year, and many people have been going to church for 8 months, and they can't say that they've seen any change. That is a problem. Bible says the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal, but no one was healed. That still bothers me. You see, the principle extends beyond physical healing. Every significant accomplishment in Christian life depends upon those two realities, the fact that the power and the presence of Jesus is always with you. When Jesus left, he did not say, I'm leaving you helpless. He said, I'm going to send another one just like me. He's called the Comforter, but guess what? I was the first Comforter, and he will be with you always. That means the power and the presence of Jesus Christ is always with us. I always tell my, when I was growing up, I recognized that when I went to play, I used to play football, let's call it soccer. And when I go, I would be a different person. Let's just put it like that. I'll be a different person because I was heavily competitive. And my competitive behavior caused me to act outside of the character of Jesus Christ. I'll just put it like that. So what would happen? I would be at church in the spirit, in the spirit of Christ, and then I'll be on the football field in the spirit of Satan. Y'all don't hear me? A different person, not recognizing that the power and the presence of Jesus Christ was with me when I'm in church and also when I'm on the soccer field. Am I talking to anybody? But if you always operate in this compartmentalized mindset, what will happen is that you'll go to church, you're somebody else, go to work, somebody else, you're on the basketball or football field, somebody else, you're in the line at the restaurant, you're somebody else. Everywhere you go, you become somebody else because you are not recognizing who is with you consistently. So here is it. The Bible says, in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it invites us, every believer, to shift their confidence away from self and shift it to Jesus Christ. The possibilities become limitless when Jesus Christ is in control. Not because of human talent, that won't work. Not because of your education, that won't work. Your influence won't help you, or the resources that you have access to. But because Jesus Christ is present in your life, the Bible makes it clear, broken hearts can be restored. Families can be reconciled. Sinners can be saved. The weak make strong. The hopeless will find hope. With God, all things are possible. That means we need to stay in the presence of Jesus Christ. Lord is power. The Lord is power. Imagine standing in a room where the greatest physician ever was. Imagine standing in the room where he was. He's there. He's present. His power is available. His compassion is overflowing. His authority is unmatched. Yet, Luke tells us something crazy, something remarkable. He said the house was crowded, religious leaders filled the room, curious listeners surrounded Jesus, yet no one inside the house is recorded as being healed in the word of God. But here is it, the only man healed that day, the only person healed that day was one who couldn't get inside the door. I haven't even told you the story yet. The Bible says Jesus was teaching, and the house was so packed that a paralyzed man came with his friends, taking him on this bed, and they could not get in the house. No space. The Bible says they went up on the rooftop, broke through the ceiling, and he was let down in the presence of Jesus. What's amazing, I'm going back to it, is the house was full. The house was packed. You see, I'm not really too concerned about crowds anymore. Because in the midst of the crowd, come on somebody, Satan is present. Crucify him, they said. The crowd. Believers, by the way, crucify him. Bible says that the paralytic came. You see, the story is not about the paralyzed man. Church, I need you to understand this. Oftentimes we get carried away with the people that the miracle is taking place to. However, the story is not about the paralyzed man. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about the one in whom the power of God dwells. Luke chapter 4 closes with Jesus healing multitudes throughout Galilee. So imagine Jesus was in Galilee healing everybody. Everyone knows about who Jesus is. He's healing in Galilee. I want you to hear this. I mean, if you recognize in scripture, Jesus have never done anything too great in Jerusalem. Now remember, Jerusalem is where the church was. But he was doing a whole lot of work in Galilee. Galilee, where there were shepherds and fishermen and the less educated people, if you please. Jerusalem had the folks who were dressed well, the folks who could speak well, the folks that are well educated, but there was no power in the streets of Jerusalem because they were too uppity. They thought too highly of themselves. So at the end of Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, at the end of Luke chapter 4, there was this great miracle. Jesus was healing so much people in Galilee. Then he got to Luke chapter 5. The beginning of Luke chapter 5, the Bible records the miraculous catch of fish. Then Peter called to discipleship. Then the cleansing of the leper. And then here comes our story. Now I want you to see this. Jesus, boom, the fish, big haul. The fishermen were so excited. They were like, man, this is great. But look at what they missed. They missed who was doing the miracle. He moved on. He called Peter to discipleship. Then he healed the leper. Never seen before. But they got so caught up with the leprosy being healed that guess what? They missed the man. Well, Luke decided to ramp things up. He said, I've given you two miracles and you miss who the miracles were about. So Luke said in Luke chapter 5 verse 17, he says, the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal and no one was healed. This tells me that the folks missed who Jesus truly was. And I'm afraid that many of us today have the same disposition. We usually miss who Jesus truly is. So we're caught up with moving towards motivational speech rather than moving to the power of the Most High God. That power is made manifest in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus was in Capernaum. Though Luke did not mention it, Mark, telling the same story, mentioned that this story took place in Capernaum. Well, now, why am I saying this? I want you to hear this. The story took place in Capernaum. And these leaders were living from Judea and Jerusalem. Now, if you don't know, from Judea, Jerusalem, coming to Capernaum is 100 miles. These guys walked 100 miles to hear Jesus. Don't miss it. But they weren't there for healing. Y'all hear what I'm saying? What sense does it make you come to church and not expect a healing? Not expect to encounter Jesus Christ? Not expect to receive the power that is already with him? I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is here. He's here. And the power is with him. And anything you need from him, he's able to give you right now if you only believe. Bible makes it clear. But they came 100 miles to act the fool. Y'all don't hear me. They drove 100 miles. Sorry, they walked 100 miles to act the fool. Can you imagine every single Sabbath you drive a distance to come to church to act the fool? The Bible makes it clear that, watch this, these were not just regular men in the house. These were not just ordinary listeners. These were high officials. But they were there to investigate Jesus. So this is the thing. In the Palestinian time, during the times of Jesus, anytime a person start get a following, they would dispatch people who were called Pharisees and teachers of the law to go wherever this person is to find out exactly what they're teaching. And if they are not teaching what the Pharisees or the Jews believe to be true, what they will do is they will sabotage that person. Is why the disciples, when they saw other men baptizing in the name of Jesus and teaching, they said, Lord, do you want us to stop them? And Jesus said, why? If they are for me, they can't be against me at the same time. Brothers and sisters, they came, but they weren't there for healing. The question I want to ask you this morning, why did you come to church today? Why have you entered into these hallways here at Message of Hope? What are you here for today? Let me make it a little clearer. What are you expecting from Jesus today? I don't know if you ever thought about it. When you come to church, what are you here for? Because it can't be for a sermon. Because I don't really preach that good. I mean, Lisa them can sing really well. Ricky them, y'all can do a good job. But I'm not that great of a preacher. But one thing I can tell you about is Jesus Christ. So the question I want to ask you, it can't be for a sermon or songs. You can hear that online. You have come here for an encounter with Jesus Christ. But do you realize that he wants to encounter with you? I'm telling you, Jesus is here. And though oftentimes we act like it's a fairy tale, I want to make this clear. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is here also. And what he wants to do is to change you into what you never thought you were able to accomplish. I sense the power. The Bible makes it clear. And my heart really aches that these men came to the house of God. But they had no intentions to receive a healing. Let me stop right here. Think about it. You're in a financial crisis. You're in a health crisis. Are you hearing me? You're in a job crisis. Whatever crisis you're in, think about it. I want you to think about it. The worst of the worst. I want you to think about it. Jesus shows up. You know, this is, and I want to share this with you. Don't feel bad because this is the same things that happened in the Bible. I want you to think about it. You're in a serious crisis and Jesus shows up. You decided to pray, sister. You decided to pray. And when you start praying, while you're praying, you start using words like, Jesus, I don't know if you're going to give me what I'm asking for. But I'm going to ask anyhow. Okay, so why are you asking? If you don't even believe that the Father that you serve is able to give you exactly what you're asking for, why are you praying? I'm not too sure if you're going to give me, Lord. But I'm just going to say this prayer. What if it looks like this? That you start praying. And in the prayer, you start acting like you already have what you're praying for. Matter of fact, it got so good. The prayer got so good because you're the Lord. You're conversing now. There's a conversation taking place. It's so good now that you don't even forget about asking. You just start saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the healing. Thank you, Lord, for the finances. Thank you, Lord, for the job. Thank you, Lord, for getting my kids together. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you for all that you start giving thanks even before God grants you the blessing. What if that was our attitude? Do you think that the Lord don't want to bless us? The issue is, watch this. The issue is the prayers that we're praying are so trivial that if God blesses you with the things that you ask for, you would lose your mind. You would lose your mind. The Lord has something greater. Watch this. The Bible says that they brought the man in. And the first thing, let me ask you a question. Was the man a paralytic, yes or no? Could he walk? No, he couldn't walk. The Bible says that he could not walk. It was so bad that his friends brought him to Jesus. He couldn't walk. But when he came to Jesus, look at this. What was the first miracle that Jesus did? The first miracle was never to heal him. The Bible says, look at it. The Bible says, your sins are forgiven. Y'all with me? The Bible says in verse number 20, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now watch this. Brothers and sisters, it's easy for us to come to Jesus and ask for some simple prayers. But what God is trying to do, he's trying to change you to look like Jesus. So when you walk in power and authority. It doesn't mean that you're overconfident or you have more trust in yourself or you believe in yourself. It's the fact that you know who you're connected to. And once we're connected with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. The Bible says the first thing that Jesus decided to do was to heal his sin problem. His sin problem. Today I want to present that to you. Stop for a moment and think. Where are you in reference to your relationship with Jesus Christ? You ain't got to tell me anything. You and the Lord can work that out. But this is the thing. We know the things that we're into. The mess that we do. But the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious and he's loving. He's forgiven, slow to anger, and he abounds in love. And my Bible tells me where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So sin was the first thing Jesus came and he dealt with. And Jesus was trying to show that he was not just a regular man, but he was truly Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible says that they said only God can forgive sins, but God was sitting was standing right before them, and they did not understand. See, God's power is there to bring change. It's there to bring healing, and it's there to bring direction and divine institution. Jesus comes by, and he becomes the power of God to us, and once Jesus is in the midst, anything is possible. Look at this. Power may be present. Power may be present. Without people personally receiving his blessing, nothing can come to pass. So Jesus can say, I give life to everybody. Guess what? If you don't receive it, it would not affect you. Power was present, but some people did not receive it. Power was present, but many people did not receive it. This morning, the reason why I am hitting this so hard, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to ever come to church expecting to leave the same way that you have come into this place. You've got to come here expecting that Jesus is going to do something. He is going to show up. Whether it's through a song, it's through a prayer, it's through a message from the pulpit, it matters not. Jesus wants to show up, and he will show up if you only allow him to. We know that the power was upon Jesus because a lame man started to walk that day. However, there was a lot of sick people in the house and did not receive that power. I want to share three things with you and then I sit down. The first thing I want you to consider from this text is Jesus is the presence of God's saving power. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that's Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God. Luke does not simply say power was in the room. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He did not say power was in the room. The power was with Jesus. That means you have to come to Jesus. The focus was never the miracle. The focus was always Jesus. Power does not exist independently of Jesus. Neither does peace or love or healing or deliverance or change. Understand this. When you pray, Lord, give me patience, Jesus shows up. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Patience is not an abstract thing. A lot of us want the blessings of God without the relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I need peace. Jesus shows up. Let's have a relationship. Because when you have a relationship with me, the Bible says you get a peace that passes all understanding. That is not regular. You say, Lord, I am sad all the time. Joy shows up, and his name is Jesus Christ. I hope I'm making sense. Luke wanted them to understand that Jesus is not just a miracle machine. What Jesus is, he is the presence and power of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear in Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. That's Bible. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for in Christ Jesus, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That means when Jesus enters into the room, the triune God comes also. He doesn't come by himself. God was spirit. That's all he was, spirit. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, the spirit of the Lord hovers over the deep. That is all three. And Elohim said, that was all three. But they recognize that mankind keeps saying we can't connect with him. He's a spirit. He's an element. He's cloud and he's fire. We can't connect with him. So guess who shows up? Jesus Christ. What's your excuse now? He said, Lord, the Lord said, you have no excuse now. I sent my son to come and represent all of us. What's your excuse? Jesus is not merely a channel of God's power. He is God. And in him, all three work together to accomplish their main mission and their main will. And that is to save mankind and reconcile them back to God. So where Jesus' power is, imagine this. Electricity may fill an entire building. But unless someone connects to the source, the darkness remains. It's the same. Jesus can fill this entire building. But unless you connect or encounter Jesus, you will stay in your darkness. The second thing I want you to consider, remember the first thing is Jesus is the presence of God's saving power. The second thing is being close to Jesus is not the same. Listen to this. Being close to Jesus is not the same as being connected to Jesus. So oftentimes you walk into church, I'm in the house of the Lord, but you have never encountered the Lord. Am I talking to anybody in this house? Don't get quiet. I just want you to understand what I'm saying to you. If there is no, I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus. I'm talking about having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says the house was packed. Some were standing, some were sitting, some were listening, some were watching, some were criticizing. Yet nobody inside the house received the healing. Meanwhile, a paralyzed man outside the house, he cannot get into the house. His friends broke up the rooftop. He comes to Jesus in desperate faith. And the Bible says he leaves forgiven and healed. This is an incredible irony for us today. That you can be so close, but yet so far from Jesus Christ. So the nearest to Jesus were farthest spiritually. But the farthest physically came close spiritually. And guess what? He received the healing. He received the healing. The question is it possible to attend church, hear sermons, study theology, or know scripture and still never surrender to Jesus? Yes, it is. Remember, in the last days, the Bible says some will come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? These are church people. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Because you've been perpetrating, playing games when there are real issues happening out there. Religion can place someone near Christ without bringing them into union with Jesus Christ. The last thing I want you to consider. Last thing I want to tell you. The first thing is, Jesus Christ is the presence of God's saving power. The second thing is, being close to Jesus is not the same as being connected to Jesus. The last thing is, Jesus heals the greatest disease first. Let me share this with you. There's a teaching called spiritual gifts. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? I want to pause right here. Spiritual gifts are for spiritual people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Spiritual gifts are for spiritual people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a difference. We're talking about this morning. There's a difference between talent and gifts. And I've discovered that there's a whole lot of talented people in the church, but not gifted. Let me share this with you. Your gift ought to bring people to Jesus Christ. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If you are given a gift, the Bible says the gift is there to edify the saints. You can't just be singing for singing's sake. You might be a good singer, but not a gifted one. You can't just be preaching with a whole lot of beautiful words, but no power. Everything we do within these walls is to help folks to draw closer to Jesus Christ. If that's not the case, brothers and sisters, it's performance. And I know there's a whole lot of great performers out there. Everyone expected physical healing from Jesus. But Jesus says, listen, young man, your sins are forgiven. As soon as he said this, remember, I want you to pay attention, because oftentimes when we encounter a person, we assume they're going to do things the way they always do it. Jesus just healed majority of the folks in Galilee were receiving healing from Jesus in chapter 4 of the book of Luke. Then chapter 5 starts out with another miracle, a great catch of fish. Then he moved on to heal a leper. No one has ever healed leprosy before, so this was something supernatural. So what's happening now? All these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people, they came to the house to see Jesus do exactly what he has been doing, and that is just physical miracles. But look at what Jesus did. Jesus did not play. Jesus came in, and he knows already what the Pharisees are thinking. He knows that they're coming to investigate him to see if he's a heretic or not. And then Jesus turned to the man, and instead of healing the man, he said, your sins are forgiven. Now let me just share this with you. Jesus knew that this would have made the Pharisees mad. But this is one thing I recognize about God. He's no respecter of persons. So you can pout, push up your mouth, do whatever you want to do with your face. God is still God, whether you like him or not. And I need us to understand there must be a level of reverence and submission when we come in encounter with the powerful Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus knew the Pharisees would have been upset, but he said, your sins are forgiven. Deal with that. They start saying, what? Jesus said, man, I know what y'all are thinking. I said it. I said, your sins are forgiven. And you will know who I am pretty soon. And you think that it's hard for me to say, your sins are forgiven? Boy, take up your mat. It's time for you to walk. Get up and walk. You're worried about me saying, I'm just saying this. It's all speech. But they missed who Jesus is. And here is where it gets dicey for me, brothers and sisters. When Jesus was coming the first time, the prophets told the Jews exactly where he was going to be born and when he was going to be born. I hope you all understanding me. The Bible talks about three kings. We sing it every single Christmas. These three kings. They were pagan kings. Remember, I say to you that the prophets were told that Jesus was going to be born in this place at this time. Three pagan kings recognize a king is being born. No, guys, do you understand that these are kings? These are not just regular members of society. These are kings. They came to pay homage and honor to Jesus Christ. Pagans. But you know who weren't there? The high priest. You know who weren't there? The Pharisees and the scribes. Guess what happened? All the church people, I'm making a point right here, listen to this. All the church people miss Jesus' first coming. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Pagans were there. Oh, some shepherds were there. But all the church people missed Jesus' first coming. Here's it. My responsibility from the Holy Spirit today is to make sure that none of you miss Jesus' second coming. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? Because the way this thing is shaping up, many people have already missed who Jesus is, and they have had some misinformation about who Jesus is. Please, I'm pleading with you this morning. Don't miss the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus was interested not in just giving this man first what he wanted, but to transform this man completely. Your sins are forgiven. Now watch this. This man came. I'm here to say, this is a paralyzed man. What sin could this paralyzed man be committing? I'm just like, brother, you can't walk. What could you be indulging in? Why you would need forgiveness? And that's the thing. Many people think that they're so holy that they don't need forgiveness. When you come, brethren, I'm teaching you this. When you come to pray, confess your sins. If you come, the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name, watch this, will first humble themselves. He never said to pray first. He said, first do what? I'm not hearing you. You ought to first do what? That means you have to recognize who you are in reference to who he is. If you don't recognize that, when you come to pray, you're going to start bossing God around. I want this. You said in scripture, if I do this, you will do this. I need this. And then what happens now is you start manipulating the Lord. And one thing I can tell you, the Lord does not do well with manipulation, okay? Humble yourself. I'm a sinner. But Jesus have saved me, so now I call myself a saint. I fall short from time to time, but I'm no longer going back to being a sinner. That title is not associated with me anymore. As I bring this thing to a close, the reality is Jesus was concerned about holistic healing and not just giving people exactly what they asked for as though he was a slot machine or an ATM machine. The greater miracle was never about him walking. The greater miracle was about him being forgiven. Physical paralysis only lasts a lifetime. But when you have forgiveness from the Lord, when Jesus comes, though you can't walk, the Bible says you'll be given a new body. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, you are a new creature. So today, the question simply is, where are you with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus the center of your joy or your job, your husband or your wife, the money on the bank, the home that you have, the car that you drive? Is Jesus the center? Is he all and in all? The song said this morning, they were singing, listen, we belong to Jesus. I'm going to share this again, in case you miss it. We belong to Jesus. Did you know that Jesus created you and then he lost you because you decided to set yourself up with the wicked Satan? And then he had to come now and purchase you back. So who do we belong to? Jesus. As I bring this thing to a close this morning, I want you to understand Luke chapter 5 is not ultimately about a rooftop, a paralytic man, or four friends. Luke chapter 5 is about Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, as you read scripture, always make sure that scripture finds its interpretation in Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 verse 39 says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have life, but these are the very scriptures that testify of me, but you will not come to me so that you may have life." So this morning I present to you Jesus, Lily of the Valley, Jesus, the bright and morning star, Jesus, fairest of 10,000, Jesus, the mind regulator, Jesus, the sin bearer, Jesus, the life giver, Jesus, the lover of my soul. This morning I present to you Jesus, who will never, ever fail. Let us pray. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we come to you because we recognize that we could be in the house but miss you. Miss the encounter with you. Miss an intimate relationship with you. Lord, all these high officials were in the house. Jesus was there, and none was healed. So right now, Lord, I'm taking this time. There's somebody in the house that is desiring healing. They need a supernatural moving. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're praying that you will move on whatever they are in searching for. Lord, I'm not just asking for a simple healing. I'm asking for a holistic healing, that their hearts will be turned back to you, Lord. So, Lord, whoever's in the house that needs you right now, I ask that you will show up for them right now. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to make a simple call. There's somebody here. You didn't come in here this morning thinking about this, but there's an encounter. And Jesus is calling you to give your heart fully over to him. If you're here today, the Lord is saying, look, I want you. I want to be in an intimate relationship with you. I want to hold you. I want to mold you. I want to fashion you. I want to transform you. If you're here today, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here today, you're praying, church. I just want you to raise your hands. You're saying, Lord, I want an intimate relationship with you. I want to turn myself over to you. I see your hands. Yes, I see your hand. Lord, I want an intimate relationship with you. Now you're here and you're saying, Lord, I want to be baptized. And if you're here and you're saying, Lord, I want to be baptized, church, you're praying. If you're saying, I want to be baptized, and you're here, I just want you to raise your hands. I want you to raise your hands if you want to be baptized. The Lord is going to do something miraculous for you, something beyond what you can think or imagine. If you're here, raise your hands. You're saying, Lord, I want to be baptized. Yes, Lord. I see your hands. Yes. The Lord is going to do something special. We're praying, Lord, you've seen the hands. And you recognize, Lord, that we can't do anything without you. So, Lord, I'm praying right now that you will attend to every heart in this house right now. Lord, for those who are listening online, who might be saying they want to be baptized, Lord, I'm praying that they can get a message across. Oh, Lord, today, we pray that we are never the same. So fill us until we overflow. Lord, I'm praying that we would not play church, but we will have a deep encounter with you every time we enter into this building. Oh, Lord, right now, move mightily in this house. as our faces differ, Lord, so are our needs. I pray that you will become for each of us exactly what you know we need. So now, Holy Spirit, move on your children. And I pray, Lord, that they would find rest for their weary souls. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Thank you, Lord, for making it happen. Thank you, Lord, for the change. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the healing. Lord, we say thank you. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I humbly pray. Amen and amen.